Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave him gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions of the earth? He who has descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood to the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds upon up in love.
I'm going to throw you all a curveball. The sermon is actually kind of from two texts, so I'm going to ask you to rise and turn to Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. In the Pew Bibles, it's page 614. This is our last message, as Pastor Sperry said, in our series on why we need the church. And it's to get equipped. Again, our text is Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. We read in Jesus' name. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and he set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. And then he said to me, prophesy over the bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews upon you, and cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put my breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to bone, and I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. There was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. Please pray with me. Father God, where we see a valley of dry bones, you see a field ripe for harvest, and where we see pain and trials and temptations, you see opportunities for your gospel to do its awesome work. Father, when we look at ourselves, if we are honest, we see small and insignificant people who cannot stand. But your word makes us stand. Your word gives us life. I pray now that we would have attentive ears and soft hearts to hear the word and to respond to its call today and always. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. How do you make an army powerful? Or, to put the question another way, how do you make a powerful army? Why is an army that's equipped with rifles so much scarier than an army equipped with shovels? The army with rifles is more powerful because it's equipped with weapons that are more powerful and more effective than the army with only shovels. In our fallen world, you make an army powerful by equipping it to more effectively kill, because that's how we fight wars. And so the goal of our armed forces when we send them into battle is to create and inflict maximum damage and destruction on our enemies while receiving a minimum of destruction and death from them in return. But ponder with me now. What happens when you equip an army with, instead of a powerful weapon to kill, but what happens when you equip an army with a powerful ability to revive? What if you equipped an army not with the ability to take life, but instead the ability to give life? To give life even to the dead. Imagine the frustration of your enemy as he wounds and maims your brothers and sisters in arms and then has to watch, astounded and in disbelief, as you call them back to life and back into the battle. What power on earth could face an army like that? What weapon on earth could frustrate the march of an army that resurrects soldiers from the dead? There is none. An army equipped with life instead of death is an army that cannot be stopped. An army with the power to give life can't be stopped by even a nuclear bomb. An army that is equipped and trained to give life, our text says, that is an exceedingly great army. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians in chapter 2, which is a little bit before the verse that Shailene read, it says that you, each of you and me, we were all dead. We were dry bones. We were bodies without the spirit of life in us. Imagine, brothers and sisters, the incredible sight of bones coming together, assembling themselves, sinews and flesh, and out of death and barrenness, life. In verse 5 of our text, God gives Ezekiel the prophet his words and says, "Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath or spirit." This word can be translated either way, and in this case it kind of seems like he means both. But anyways, "I will cause breath or spirit to enter you, and you shall live." Now remember, brothers and sisters, what Jesus did in John 20, 22, and 23, how he commissioned his followers to go out into the world and to save lives. And remember what he did. He breathed on them. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. And then he added, if you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven them. But now come back with me to the valley of dry bones and notice the bones did not come to life until the prophet Ezekiel prophesied to them. The breath of life did not enter them until Ezekiel declared to the bones and to the wind in verse 9, thus says the Lord God, O breath, breathe on these slain so that they can live. You see, if Ezekiel had been equipped with a sword, he could have killed a person or two. If he'd had a tank, he could have rolled over his enemies, but that's all he could do. Instead, God equipped Ezekiel with the word of God. God equipped Ezekiel with the gospel message of forgiveness. And thus, God equipped Ezekiel with the power to give life. It's an awesome power. And it comes only from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so you see, brothers and sisters, Ezekiel's vision of the valley of dry bones, it gives us a whole explanation of how we do ministry. Because in the valley of dry bones, not only is it true that the word of God is Ezekiel's equipment, it's also true that the word of God is equipping him. The word of God is both the equipper and the equipment of the word of God, of the army of God. The word of God is both the equipper and the equipment of the army of God. This is an important spiritual truth that we should use to frame everything we do in ministry. Through Ezekiel, God pulled back the curtain and showed us how ministry really works, what's really going on. When we minister to our believing brothers and sisters, or when we share the gospel with their unbelieving neighbors, whenever we're doing ministry, we are doing it by the power of the word. All of our power to do ministry comes from the power of God's word and the Holy Spirit who inspires, executes, and fulfills God's word. So our goal in ministry, brothers and sisters, all of us who are alive in Christ are ministers of his gospel. If you believe in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, you are part of this exceedingly great army. The exceedingly great army that has been raised from the dead through baptism. The exceedingly great army that through faith in Christ has laid a hold of the amazing promise. The promise that we read in Ezekiel 37:12, that God himself will open your grave and physically raise you from the dead and place you in a land all your own to live in peace for eternity with Christ. We are that exceedingly great army, and therefore we are all ministers to Christ's gospel and to the world. We are the army equipped with the gospel. We are an army equipped by the gospel to bring life to the world, eternal life. So, brothers and sisters, let's pay careful attention to what we equip ourselves with. It is the word of God that equips us. It's the word of God that is our equipment. Let everything we do here have the goal of applying God's word to ourselves and to our mission field. In fact, that is our goal as we publicly affirm it. Our mission statement here at Prince of Peace is to reach an ever-changing world with God's never-changing word. Which is good because we're not just campaigning for Jesus Christ. We're not trying to get people to vote for Jesus instead of Allah or Darwin or whoever atheists worship. And so we don't simply equip ourselves with the public relations tactics and strategies and methods of the world. Because we're not selling Jesus. Dry bones will not be brought back to life by an advertising campaign alone. It's the promises of God. It's the Word of God that makes them alive. And so our strategy is actually very simple. Apply the Word. We, the army of God, keep proclaiming God's commandments and His promises to dry bones, and the Word and the Spirit of God will bring them to life. So we should proclaim the Word in all facets of our lives. Deuteronomy 6:6-8 says, talk about the Word when you're moving or when you're sitting still. Proclaim the Word to your children and to total strangers. Write it on your forehead if you have to. Our strategy is to carry the Word into every part of life because there are dry bones everywhere we go. But while this strategy is really simple, the tactics take a bit of training and equipping. Because the power to change lives is right here. But it's you who need to carry this awesome and heavy weapon. No soldier goes into battle without first training, and no soldier would be comfortable standing against the enemy if he did not first have a good working knowledge of what his rifle could do and how to clean it and how to aim it and how to fire it and what it's capable of and what it's not designed to do. The same is true for things we use to give life. You can probably crush up an aspirin and sprinkle it on a wound, but it's going to work a lot better if you take it the way you're supposed to. The same concept applies to the Bible. Look, we're sinners. We all come from dry bones. We need our dry bones to be equipped by the Holy Spirit, and we need to learn and keep on learning how to use the Bible. So we don't just sprinkle aspirin over someone's gaping wound and then pretend that we've solved the problem. Please flip with me back to Ephesians 4, the section that Shaylin read. Ephesians 4, 11 through 12 says, Jesus gave the apostles and the prophets, the evangelists or the missionaries, the shepherds or the pastors, and the teachers. It says that Jesus gave all of those to the church so that they could equip the saints for the work of ministry and so that they could build up the body of Christ, His church, His congregation, our congregation. So how does that relate to Ezekiel yelling at a pile of dry bones? Well, first of all, let's note that the first gifts given by Jesus Christ to the church are the apostles and the prophets, which is basically shorthand for the Bible. The Holy Spirit inspired the prophets of the Old and the apostles of the New Testament to give our church the words of life. The Holy Spirit preserved those words for us in the Bible, so that even here at Prince of Peace, coming up on 2 millennia after Christ first told his disciples to go and make disciples, baptizing and teaching, we can say that Jesus Christ has given the saints of Prince of Peace Lutheran the apostles and the prophets, and he's given them to us right here. The apostles and the prophets are where you and I receive the Word of God. Ezekiel, when he was standing over the valley, received the Word directly from God. We, in turn, receive it from Ezekiel because God has made sure it was written down and preserved through all the ages so that you can be holding it in your hand right here and right now. But then notice, brothers and sisters, that God himself does not yell at the bones. God had Ezekiel do it. In the same way that God raised up Ezekiel to proclaim to the bones, all throughout history, God has appointed evangelists and shepherds and teachers to carry his word to his people. This is why we have missionaries carrying the word of God into foreign lands, proclaiming the words of life, just as Ezekiel proclaimed them to the dry bones. But it's also how and why God has given pastors and teachers as a gift to the congregations of Christ. Jesus Christ descended to the lower regions. He conquered death and he reascended so that he could give to Prince of Peace as a gift Pastor Sperry. Jesus Christ went down and came back as a conquering hero, and in his triumphal parade, he gave as a gift to all of us, everyone here at Prince of Peace who teaches or has a shepherding ministry. Pastor Sperry, the Sunday school teachers, the VBS volunteers, the small group Bible study leaders, Seth, I could go on and on. I'm going to forget a bunch of people. The list goes on forever. But these people have been given to Prince of Peace as a gift from Jesus Christ. Even the teachers who've been dead for a long time. We can read Martin Luther and learn from him because Jesus Christ did a work in his life. Jesus Christ made guys like Martin Luther and Georg Sverdrup and St. Augustine alive in him. He breathed spiritual life into them and gave them to his church so they could learn from him, from them. And for what purpose? Well, we see the reason right here. These men and women have been given as gifts to equip the saints for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ. And now remember, all these people given to the congregation to equip it with the word, all those people were first equipped by the word. It was the word of God that equipped Ezekiel and the word that Ezekiel used to equip others. It was the word of God that equipped Paul and the word that Paul used to equip others. It's the word of God that equipped everyone who wrote the Bible, and through them we are equipped with the word of God. It's the word of God that equipped Augustine, Luther, and Sverdrup, and it was the word of God that emboldened Luther and Sverdrup to stand up to the false teachers of their day and declare, the congregations of Jesus Christ ought to be equipped with the word of God instead of the false and deceitful teachings of men. It's the gift of the word of God that equipped a bunch of people out in a prairie town in coal country to start a congregation here in Beulah. And now that congregation here at Prince of Peace equips people with the word of God for the work of ministry and for the building up of the body of Christ. That is why, brothers and sisters, we need the church. The church is where we are equipped with the word of God. We need to be equipped with the word of God so that we can mature in our faith and to equip others as well. In our lives, we will face storms and challenges and false teachers and persecutions. And if we are not equipped by the word of God, Ephesians 4:14 says, we will be carried away by human cunning and by craftiness and by deceitful schemes. But in American society, we treat church like something that we have to do. Like it's a good work that we do that somehow merits our salvation. But if you think that going to church is a good work that you do for God instead of a gift of grace that you receive from Him, it's not very likely that you'll spend much time getting equipped. Friends, on Christmas morning or Christmas Eve, however your family does gift opening, you've got a tree just full of gifts and everything underneath it. How many of you have a kid that comes up to you and says, "Do we really have to open presents again this Christmas? Dad, I mean, what would you say would be the bare minimum of presents I need to open? Because there's a football game coming up, so." That's like a skeleton saying, "Okay, well, you put my spine back together, but that's called good. That's good enough." Jesus Christ has an incredible store of gifts for you in his word. And the congregation is where we open those gifts together. We don't attend church as if we're going to a temple to make a sacrifice for our sins. The sacrifice has been made for you at the cross. That's all done. Yes, we offer sacrifices of praise, but those are gratitude for the gifts that we've been given. They're not sacrifices we do to earn gifts. Jesus Christ died on the cross so that when he ascended, he could lead captives from death and give gifts to men and women. Gifts like the Bible and the people who preach and teach it. Notice what the text of Ephesians 4:8 does not say. It does not say Jesus came back and gave a bunch of obligations to men. It does not say he gave a new way for men to work really hard and earn their salvation. It says that he gave gifts to men. Gifts. Chief among them being the word of God and the congregations that proclaim it. This is why we need the church. A congregation that worships together and studies the Bible together and lives together and prays together. That is a sacred gift from God. A faith in Jesus Christ that can withstand any strange or deceitful wind of doctrine, that's a gift from God. But you only get that gift by being equipped with the Word of God. And you get equipped by being in a Christian congregation where we minister to each other's needs and build each other up. Our church services, our Bible studies, our Sunday school classes, our group events, our small group events, our congregational life, these things where we as a people gather around God's word and God's sacraments, these are where the word of God matures us and grows us in every way. Where the word of God grows us into the head of our body, Jesus Christ. It's congregational life where we learn how to speak the truth in love to each other and to the world. It's our congregational life where we as a body of Christ grow in love for each other and more importantly for Jesus Christ. And we need you here, brothers and sisters. Because when I fall or make a mistake, or when I'm hammered by some unforeseen crisis, I need you all to be equipped with the word. And your family needs you to be equipped with the word. And your friends need you to be equipped with the word. And total strangers whom you haven't met yet, but you will, they need you to be equipped with the word. So, brothers and sisters, as we draw our series to a close on why we need the church, I will leave you with this final exhortation. Let's continue to get equipped. Let's always be a congregation seeking to reach a changing world with an unchanging gospel. Arm yourselves with the life giving power of the word of God so that when your Christian brother or sister comes to you, in need or in sorrow, you can speak the truth in love to them. It's the congregation of Christians who get to call into the valley, "Live, you dry bones." We are an exceedingly great army, and our valley is right out there. Let's continue to get equipped so we can continue to watch dry bones come to life. Amen.